I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. Let's all stand and sing it. I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. Well, I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus lifted me. Oh, I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. Oh, I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. Well, I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. I'm singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus lifted me. Well, now I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. Oh, I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. Well, I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus lifted me. Oh, when I was a sinner, Jesus set me free. When I was a sinner, oh, Jesus set me free. When I was a sinner, Jesus set me free. I'm singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus set me free. Well, now I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. Oh, hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles tonight, I'd like to just go into the Word while everyone's nice and awake. That's all right? I appreciate the half chuckles. I'm seeing, you know, those half flag eyes, you know, so I'm like, yep, better get going. I'd like to draw your attention to a verse of Scripture in John chapter 5 in the Word of the Lord. John chapter 5. We're going to go to verse 39. Enjoying the service so far. It's been good. Good presence of God and good worship. And appreciate the goodness of the Lord. And there's something that on my heart to share. And so I'm wanting to share it. Praise God and help you tonight with something I hope will help you. We all need help. Yes. And God is our helper. Amen. In fact, the scripture says it like this, that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. He doesn't want you to wonder if. He wants you to boldly say, the Lord is. Amen. And that's the difference between those who are not living for God yet and those who are. Those who are not wonder if. Those who are converted, those who are not, wonder if, and those who are converted know the Lord is. And it's that confidence that God can put in you. It's the confidence that we all need. Amen? John chapter 5, verse 39, Jesus is talking to some people who are upset about a miracle that he performed on the Sabbath day. The Jews weren't happy. It was a day of rest, according to Mosaic law. They just didn't realize that the Lord of the Sabbath was the one doing the healing. And so he's teaching them and saying some things. And one thing he said to them was, search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. I'm going to read this one more time. Search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me. You may be seated. Now, these were individuals who were looking for an opportunity to do away with him because he was messing up their status quo. They had everything religiously snugged up. They had their place in the midst of the Roman Empire. They had everything like they wanted. But Jesus was upsetting the apple cart. And he's just that type of Savior that he'll do it. He'll upset your theology. He'll upset your lifestyle. Not because he hates you, but that's just who he is. His presence upsets things. Praise God. Amen. But ultimately in a good way, because his presence, you know, the scripture says in his presence there's fullness of joy. And it's true. If you're somebody that searches, and if you're not, well, it may not be exactly fullness of joy. You know, pastor used to say, it's you either love me or hate me. And with the Lord, it's kind of the same way. His light exposes darkness. And you're either going to be on the right side or on the left. Search the scriptures. So before we read another passage, I just want to emphasize those three words. Search the scriptures. How do we seek after God? You know, the scripture teaches us to seek the Lord while he may be found, right? Isaiah 55, I believe it's verse 6. Call ye upon him while he is near. David said on many occasions, I sought the Lord and he heard me. And he delivered me out of all my fears. I said to my soul, soul, seek after God. Heart, seek after God. One of the ways that we can seek after God is by searching the scripture. That's one way to do it. Seeking God isn't always in the, you know, in the church house or in your private devotional times of calling on God. Oh, Lord Jesus, hallelujah, God, we just need you. That's seeking God, yes, but it's not the only way we seek him. See, if we seek him, he's promised us that we will find him. But there has to be something inside of us that wants to search him out. Right. Wasn't it King Solomon that testified, with all you're getting, get understanding? Right. You can't get understanding if you don't go looking for it. If you don't go seeking after it. If you want to understand something, then you have to go after whatever it is that you're wanting to understand. Right. And God has not made this so complicated that none of us can understand. He's not so much God and so far above all things that he hasn't made himself low enough to be reached, if you will. He's not trying to be complicated. If he tells us to search the scriptures, now he's saying it in a different tone to the group of people he was saying it to at the time, because they thought they had it all together. We are the elite people of God, and you're not fitting into our way of doing things. But Jesus was there to say, look, you all think you're doing the right thing, but why don't you go back to that book? Go back to that law. And search again the scriptures, because you'll find they all talk about me. Praise the Lord. And you're not seeing me. Moses wrote of me. And if you'd believed him, you'd believe me, because he wrote of me. And he talked about me and spoke of me. But the difference is, people who really do not believe God, there are a lot of unbelievers under the guise of Christians. There are a lot of places that house people who say that they have a religion, but they don't believe God. And a lot of them have never searched the scriptures. They believe what they want to believe. They believe what they're told, but there's never been a search. They've never confirmed, what does the word say? Right. What happens for some of them is they come among us, and one night the preacher gets up, or one of the preachers, or somebody testifies something, and all of a sudden, you know, oops. Because it crossed theology. It crossed their thought process. It didn't line up. It didn't agree with what they want to believe. Look, there have been a lot of things around over the centuries for people to teach and believe, but it doesn't mean it's right. They worshiped Baal centuries and millenniums ago, but didn't mean that they were right for doing so. So it should be no surprise that there are also doctrines and teachings that have been around for a long time, but they're not necessarily right. When something's around for 100 years, it doesn't make it right.
Praise God. I mean, two millenniums have passed since Jesus walked the earth, right? We're pretty much in the time frame now. It's 2022. If you go based upon the Gregorian calendar and the timeline, yeah, he's, you know, a few years away back in the first century from starting his ministry. So it's been about, we can now officially say it's been 2,000 years since he walked the earth. Praise God. And there have been a lot of generations that have passed. But that word of God that was established and published in the first century has been in every century since until now. And regardless of how many generations in your family or in mine have passed, none of them or what they believe has changed the word of God if it was anything different. When they were born in the second century, this verse that we're going to be reading and all of this that's here, known as the Gospels, was already written, already spoken, already written, already established that this is the word of God recorded so that you might know what took place. That's why they wrote this stuff. They didn't write this stuff alone just to, you know, be a good idea for, you know, future generations to have it written down. When they wrote in the first century, they wrote the word of God. They wrote their experiences because they knew heresies were coming. And people were already starting to teach things that were not of God and go another direction. So the apostles and the men of God, and those who partook of writing what we know as the New Testament, they were writing to set the record straight. They were writing to say, this is who we are. This is what was commonly believed and reported and preached and taught. And this is how people got converted. None of that has changed. Listen to some people talk about gospel. They talk about the word of God. Some of these are people who are supposed to believe the verse we're going to read here in a few minutes. But they're on this sort of, love teaching. I've heard some of these people talking about the love of God. And it's all about the love and just love. And we need to love. And that's true. We need to love one another. But that's not the only thing. Well, you know, what's behind it is we don't need to emphasize Holy Ghost and speaking with tongues. And we don't need to emphasize baptism. We don't need to emphasize some of the things that have been emphasized over the years over and over again, because it's all about we just need to love and God's love and God's, yeah, that's all fine and good as long as you don't use that to say, I don't need to do this. It's all about love. We've heard that in some circles. And it's like, I don't want that love. I don't want the love they're talking about. I've searched the scriptures and so have you. And we have found the love of God that's been poured into our hearts when we repented of our sins and God filled us with the glorious gift of the Holy Ghost. That's the love I want. Because that's the love you find when you search the scriptures and you have the heart. The heart that says, God, I'm here to seek after God and I want exactly what your word says I need to have. And it's still here for us to see. Nothing has changed. God hasn't come up with another idea, another doctrine, just because we're where we're at. God has never changed. People change. They really do, but the word hasn't changed. So he's here talking to these people, saying, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Let's go to Acts chapter 2, and I'll try to be brief here. I'm just making a few comments about some things as we go, but I'm willing to emphasize something here if I can. And one thing I'm not, we're careful about how we say things because we're so mindful of the faith of other people. Knowing that some people don't have everything they need to have, but it doesn't mean we're going to be malicious with what we do have and keep them from finding the truth. But at the same time, it doesn't mean we're not going to be bold enough to preach the truth. I can't hold back truth because I'm worried about what somebody else is going to say or how they're going to react. I'm not preaching for tithing envelopes. Right. Praise the Lord. I'm preaching because I'm on my way to heaven. Yeah. And it's God that counted some of us faithful, putting us in the ministry. You're not my church. You're God's church. I didn't convert you. God did. I didn't fill you with my spirit. God did. Praise the Lord. I don't have the right to preach whatever I want. What we're preaching is stuff we have searched. By the power of God, we've searched the scriptures. And God has given revelation and understanding. And we preach with that, knowing that at times it's going to ruffle some feathers. Well, ruffle away. We do it because we love you. And we share truth because it's a truth that we need to wake up to and say, Lord, what do I need to do? What shall I do? And have a heart that really wants to know. We know we're dealing with stumbling blocks along the way. They're called false doctrines. I've mentioned some here recently, and you always wonder how people are going to react when you bring up the T word. And it's like the C word, isn't it? Praise God. For some people, it's like you start bringing it up like, uh-oh, here they go again. It's those oneness people. It's all they talk about is one God and baptism in Jesus' name. Don't they know anything else? Not tonight. Until you get the foundation established in your soul, what else is there for you to learn? Praise God. It's not that we can't teach from Ezekiel or Zechariah, Zephaniah, or Obadiah's. If there's a book called Obadiah, should be. Haggai or Daniel. There's lots of great stuff. But every epistle, all 66 of them, are always going to point back to Jesus. And not some whacked out, crazy, harebrained idea of a theology that people are trying to figure out because they don't have understanding. They just want to believe what's taught to them, what's handed down from some numbskull that did not receive revelation. I don't want to learn from people like that. I want to learn from that Holy Ghost sent down from God out of heaven. I want to be in an atmosphere of people who believe that God can reveal. Praise the Lord. And that it's not left up to somebody's book from the Bible bookstore to figure out God. If you build upon a lie and the foundation is a lie, then what you build is a lie because its source is a lie. That is why you'll meet people like us that do not preach that Jesus Christ is a three-person deity. Not because we're trying to be mean, but because we don't want to preach something that doesn't exist. Amen. Amen. Acts 2. Some get nervous when we start talking about that. It says Jesus only, people. I knew it. Jesus this and Jesus that. Yeah, you're right. And when he splits the eastern sky, you better have that name on your tongue. Yes. Praise the Lord. Because Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And that one that he said, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, his name's Jesus. It's about Jesus everything. Hallelujah. You ought to check your spirit and ask yourself why Jesus' name is such an irritant to you. Praise the Lord. I didn't spray bleach in your eyes when I said Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Why does it irritate your soul so? The whole family in heaven is named by that name. We're not here to scare anybody away. We're here to draw people. Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all unto me. That one that was lifted up on Calvary's cross has a name. It was not, who's on the cross? Oh, that's the Son of God. Correct. That's the Christ. Correct. That's unto us a son given. Correct. But what's his name? Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Jesus shed the blood and Jesus was buried. Amen. But Jesus also got up again on that third day. Praise God. It's all about Jesus. It is Jesus only. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus. There's no other God but one. Thank you. Praise God. All right. Let's read here before I get carried away. But again, we don't preach this in a spirit of malice to anybody. We're not being contentious. We're not trying to be. But at the same time, we got to say something. We've got to. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Isn't that what Paul said, Brother Rick? Woe is unto me if I don't declare. What must we do to be saved? It's the only answer that has ever been. It's the only answer that will ever be. And what you need to do, what I need to do, is search the scripture and just obey God. Amen. Don't spend too much time trying to wonder whether or not I should or not. Jump in with both feet. Praise God. Life is fragile. You don't have every day like you think sometimes. Anything can take place. Make sure you leave this world obedient to God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I would hate to die lost and end up in hell after spending many a time visiting the church that had the answer that my soul needed. I'm not worried about those who don't want to search the scriptures. I'm concerned about those who do. I'm not worried about those who think they've got it figured out and they already know and Jesus can't help them at all. I'm not worried about those who cannot see him even if he was standing right in front of them. Jesus testified that there are those that don't believe. He looked it in the face of many of his own people and said, "You don't believe. You're not of God. You're of your father, the devil." He said that to his own. He didn't say that to the Gentiles. He looked in the face of other Jews who were taught, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." He looked at them and said, "Had you known me, you should have known my father also." Oh, what revelation there is in the word of God. Had they only known. But you neither know me nor my father. You don't believe, and you'll die lost in your sins. I don't want to be there. I don't want to be there. Look, I don't have any problem showing up before God in an altar of repentance and just saying, "God, I'm dumb. I don't know nothing. Teach me what I need to know. Praise God, I'll humble myself. Lord, what must I do? Show me the way, and I'll obey the way." You don't have to understand everything, but there's one thing that you do need to do is say, "Soul, you need to obey God." Yeah. Praise the Lord. I may not understand his deity. I may not comprehend a whole lot about him, but there is one thing I can do. I can be obedient to the word of God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And I'm trying to reach for somebody tonight to give you a chance to obey God. Hallelujah. So let's read Acts chapter 2. Finally get there. Verse 32. "This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which you now see and hear." There's so much in the word of God. But let me just continue. I may backtrack to this. "For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand. Hallelujah. Until I make thy foes thy footstool." Psalm 110 verse 1 he's referencing. "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. "And said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do?" Now, I'd like to say to you tonight, if you can, try to imagine something with me tonight. Try to imagine no denominations, no other religions that started because somebody got hit in the head with a rock that said came from heaven and now there was a new gospel. About the size of it, though. And yet Paul in Galatians 1 and 8 testified, "If any man or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel than that which we have preached, let him be accursed." And yet other gospels have come, right? But they're not the gospel. And so here Peter is, and let's go back to the first century when the question was asked, because these men just, we're reading it lightly, but if you were in the crowd that day and you realized you were one of them that was crying out, "Crucify him, crucify him," and you were convinced that this was the right thing to do, and now it's being revealed to you that you just murdered your Christ. They were pricked in their heart. It didn't say, oh, that's too bad. No, when they were pricked in their heart, it meant the word of God just slammed into them. They heard it. It went deep. They realized, what have we done? And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, when there was no Catholic church, there was no Baptist church, there was no Pentecostal church, there was no charismatic church, no Assemblies of God, no first, second, third, fourth Baptists, no Presbyterians, no Episcopalians, no Lutherans, no Protestants, no Mormons. No Jehovah's Witnesses. Men and brethren, what shall we do when the word of God by the mouth of angels was to the Jews only? When the law of God given to Moses was for the people of God that he had called by his own name, delivered them out of the hand of Pharaoh in Egypt, gave them the word of God, what we refer to as the Old Testament. To this people first came the second covenant and the word of God, the testimony, the salvation through his blood. They said to Peter, "What shall we do?" Then Peter said unto them, "Because I promise you tonight, you will not hear a word that I say, that I repeat that Peter said, until you are able to say, 'What shall I do?' Until your heart says, 'What do I need to do?'" You can teach this all day long. We've done it. Many of us have talked to people till they're blue in the face, and we're blue in the face, and it made no difference whatsoever. And the question is why? Because their heart was not open. Because they did not believe. They already had it set in their mind what they wanted to believe. And this isn't it. They want to believe Romans, some verse in Romans. There is no Romans road to salvation in Romans or in Corinthians. Hallelujah. Starting to feel like pastor right now. Nor in Galatians and Ephesians or Philippians or Colossians or 1st and 2nd Thessalonians or in Timothy or in any of the other epistles. What we're going to read is what gave birth to those epistles. When nobody else existed, when the doctrine of the Trinity did not even exist, the apostles never heard of it. Jesus never heard of it. Thank you, Jesus. I'm just going to wait till, you know, the dust settles for a second. I'm almost. Because, you know, you wake up a lot of things when you use that word. You mean you don't believe in the Trinity? Absolutely not. God doesn't even believe in a triune deity. But it's been around for a long time. Not as long as Hero Israel. Praise God. And not as long as God was manifest in the flesh. Praise the Lord. And not as long as Jesus, the express image of the invisible God. God in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. No, it hasn't been around as long as that. There was a gospel and there is a doctrine that has been preached long before philosophical minds begin to try to intellectually figure out God in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Now, this might offend some people, but I promise you, you want me to offend you instead of hell offending you. When you can't do nothing in hell but be tormented forever and ever, you want to be offended, you want to be challenged. I'm not trying to offend you. I'm trying to challenge you to search the scriptures. And what God is saying to you tonight is, don't just come to church and just believe what the preacher says. If this is the only time you're getting Bible, you're robbing yourself. If this is the only time you pray, you're robbing yourself. If this is the only time you worship, you're robbing yourself. Praise God. For in him we live and move and have our being. We're just coming together as a result of what we continue in and what we live in every single day. Praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. God's so good. Thank you, Jesus. Not trying to yell. Praise God. Hallelujah. Search the scriptures. Don't just get offended and, well, this is what we believe. That's not acceptable. To hear the things we're saying tonight and still have it in the back of your mind, yeah, but you're not getting it. There's a blockage somewhere. You ever have a clogged sink? Clogged toilet? Clogged tub? All right. Well, sometimes people have a clog in their brain and in their heart. And they're not allowing the word of God to get through. Didn't mean to paint a bad picture here. What I'm saying is, until you are able to say, "What shall I do?" you'll never hear what Peter says. You'll never see it. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So ultimately, we need to be born again in order to see, that was high pitch, see and enter. And there are a lot of people standing outside the door, and they're not seeing and they're not entering, but they're claiming they've got it when they don't. I want to make sure you've got it tonight. Please, if you have not obeyed what I'm about to read, please. We're going to give you some time to pray. We're going to sing a couple more songs and worship God. But please, get a hold of your soul. What I don't like about New England is that, and I'm a New Englander. I've been there. And what I love so much about the worship is it breaks us out of that cold, complacent, traditional way we think church should be. Thank God there's an apostolic church in New England. And thank God there's apostolic churches in New England. We're not the only ones. But there are first century churches in cold, dead New England where everybody's got God figured out, but nobody wants God. They want him on a Sunday to make themselves feel good, but they don't want him the rest of the week, and they don't want the truth, a lot of them. Thank God for truth. God can have church anywhere. And New England is as barbaric as Asia was for the apostles back then. And we got our work cut out for us, but thank God we can do it. We can have a church and we can see a church grow with people full of God. Amen. Baptized in his name, believing in one God, walking in holiness, walking in righteousness, which is what God wants. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Amen. All right, let me read before we fall asleep. Then Peter said unto them, oh, I thank God for this verse of Scripture. Praise God. What a life changer. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Hallelujah. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and unto your children and unto all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. God's calling you tonight. Now, let me just say this, because in the first century, this was preached to Jews only at first. About the first decade was this great gospel of Jesus Christ preached, and the children of Israel being converted by the droves. This verse of Scripture means a lot to them. It means more to a Jew, especially if you're in the first century, knowing what they knew, than it does to us on this side of things, because we weren't Jews. We didn't grow up being taught about animal sacrifice and shed blood and the yearly sacrifice and all the traditions of the law of Moses. We didn't grow up with all of that. I mean, some of us grew up with the Ten Commandments and the basics of Mosaic law, but we were not Jews. And we did not grow up with all the customs and planted in our soul. So when Peter was saying this, what he was saying was, your atonement, your yearly sacrifice, the way that you're going to be forgiven is through the shed blood of Christ. It's for you to forsake your wicked ways and your unrighteous thoughts and be baptized in water in the name of Jesus for the cleansing and the forgiveness of your sins. This was huge. This answer is still around today. The Holy Ghost that God poured out is still around for us today. It hasn't gone anywhere. It's the answer. It doesn't matter what anybody else believes. And this is what God is saying. And some people are hesitant to jump in because they're so mindful about what the family believes. I could be rude and say something pretty strong right now, but I'll just skip that part and not say it. Who cares what God believes? Let me say it like that. It's not about what they believe. It's about what God believes. And I'm not dying lost for family. I love them, but I'm not going to hell for them. And because of them, because I'm worried about what they think if I jump in this thing with all of my heart. They need you to jump in this thing with all their heart, your heart. They need you to become Jesus' name. They need you to become one God. They need you to be full of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues. They need you to be this. Hallelujah. They don't need you riding the fence. Praise God. It's the Lord. Maybe what I'm feeling tonight and the compelling is God's asking you tonight, are you in this thing or not? God's not asking you to denounce him. Praise God. Isn't it amazing? Some people act like we're trying to steal any good thing of God that he's ever done from them. We're not. When you look at the Word of God, there are those that God had done a lot of great stuff for and sent a man of truth to them to bring them the rest of the way. For the goodness of God leads to repentance, to salvation, not to be repented of. If God's good to you, because his goodness is leading you, so that you can be in a place or in the company of somebody who has the answer of what you ought to do. This isn't about, look, throw it away. What do you think you know? When the answer comes, just jump in there with all your heart. If you have any questions on whether you were baptized right or not, any question whatsoever, get baptized again. Make sure you've done it right. It's very technical with God. And for all those that say, no, it's all about just accepting Jesus as Savior. I accept the Savior. There's no verse in the Bible that teaches us to accept him as Savior and we're saved. Before the Roman church was ever the Roman church, we read, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's what God has for you. Don't run from the Holy Ghost. God's saying, Amen. Man, Brother Rick, if you're not full of the Holy Ghost tonight, some of you need to be kind of reminded about what some of us did back in the day when we didn't have the Holy Ghost. We couldn't wait for the altar call. Praise the Lord. We couldn't wait for the opportunity, praise God, to worship and to seek after God and to cry out because we wanted the gift of the Holy Ghost. It was a promise. I want it. Yeah, we're having to teach people all over again how to become hungry to seek after God. Not just go to church and stare. God don't want stares. Gazers, he wants participators and partakers and worshipers. It's supposed to get crazy in here. Praise the Lord. It's supposed to get loud in here. Hand clapping's in order. A little bit of this is in order. A little bit of that's in order. People speaking with tongues is in order. People clapping their hands and being excited. That's God's church. Well, just lost all the conservative Christians. He's a sovereign deity. He likes quiet. I don't know what book you read. Quiet nothing. He's a God who likes noise. Make a joyful noise. In fact, if it's too quiet, he gets concerned. Are you people alive or not? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah, First Church of the Frigidaire. All right, I got to bring this to a close. So my emphasis to you tonight is simply this, and this is what I've come to church to say to you. God wants you to seek his face. God wants you to get hungry for him. God does not want you to come to an apostolic church such as this and hear what you must do to be saved and leave lost. And leave without arrangements. A preacher, I want to be baptized. It's not into a local assembly. Your baptism is for God to remove the sin, all of your sins out of your life. And you don't have to do what they had to do back in the day, offer up another sacrifice the next year. Jesus is saying, my blood shed, I shed once, and it's so powerful, I'll keep you clean for the rest of your life. Yes. And if you fail, I can clean you up again. Right. Praise God. Yes. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God. We're blood bought. Yes. We're bought with a price. That's what the scripture says, 1 Corinthians 6. I am bought with a price. I am not my own. Amen. So get in this thing with all your heart. Don't run from it. Say, I know what that is because I did it. Don't run from this truth. God knows exactly where you are. He knows what you're thinking. He knows the conversations that you have. When you're out of church, he knows the quarrels. He knows the skepticism. He knows the doubts. And God himself is saying, I want both feet in. Seek the Lord while he may be found. There will come a time
when he won't be found.
As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be today. That when the Lord ends everything, that's it. When he shut the door, Noah and his wife, his three sons and their three wives and all the animals, they were locked inside. Praise God. That was it. Let me finish reading here. And this was Peter, and some say, well, that's what Peter said. That was for back then. I don't read anywhere in the Word of God where anything has changed. Let's read Acts 19, and then we'll sing and worship a while. Is that all right? And we're almost through. There's so much to say about who he is, and while you're turning to Acts 19, let me just read that verse 33 of Acts 2. Let me say something here. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this, which you now see and hear. So he's saying that Jesus poured out the Holy Ghost, and yet Joel said it was God that said, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. There are questions you have to ask in your search for God, in your search for understanding. There are things, even if you don't comprehend it, and it sounds like it's saying something, but you can't get it, there's enough being said in scriptures to let you know that, back to the triune deity for a minute, that concept isn't right by how they teach it. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Three separate persons. That's not scriptural. This verse alone testifies to you that there's something more. Even if you don't see it, the verses themselves are suggesting that there's something more than what that doctrine says. If they're separate, how is it that Jesus could be one with the Father and yet also full of the Holy Ghost? And if we're all filled with the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost is a third person, how are we filled with a person? All of us. So, it doesn't make any sense. But here's the thing, this is my point to you. Not that we're trying to debate, because we're not here to bully anybody with our understanding. Because we can do it. We can just pick out four or five scriptures, surround somebody that doesn't know the truth, and embarrass them. And I'm not here to do that, make them look bad so we can look good. That's not the purpose of the truth. But the purpose is to say something to jolt your thought process into wanting to search for the truth. To see something that says, wait a minute, and then you go after it. You spend time at home praying and humbling yourself before God and asking God for revelation and understanding. Jesus seemed to think it took revelation. No man knoweth the Father save the Son, and to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Why? Is it because the Son is a separate guy? No, the Son is the Word of God, and it takes the Word to reveal God to us. People cannot understand and they get blinded because of the man Christ Jesus. And all of a sudden, but God did that purposefully. He knew all things. He knew that veil, his flesh, Hebrews 5 and 7, that which would come forth from a virgin womb, he knew that would be a stumbling block. It didn't bother him any that God walked amongst his own in the form of a man. Hebrews 2, he did not take on the nature of angels, but he took on the seed of Abraham. He did. The Lord whom you seek, the Lord who said, I am God, there's none beside me. I am one. Hath we not one God? Has not one God created us? Malachi 2, right? That one God in Scripture in Malachi testified, the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Again, I'm just throwing out another verse just simply to express it's bigger. There's more to it than a doctrine that's trying to hide Acts 2:38 from me. Praise the Lord. Jesus said in John 2, he said, destroy this temple in 3 days, I will raise it up. They did not understand that he was speaking of the temple of his body. Then when you go back to the prophet, when he said, the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, he was not talking about a building, he was talking about a body. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's these verses and it's these entry points that show you that, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, right? Ephesians 4, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And it makes it beautiful. And it just explodes into this world of understanding and revelation and knowledge that causes you to live right and want to live right and want to obey God. And come back to Acts 2:38 and Matthew 28:19 and realize they say the same thing. Hallelujah. There's no Trinitarian baptism scripture and a one God baptism scripture for the oneness people. No such thing. There's only one baptism. There is no Trinitarian formula for water baptism because there is no Trinity. All right. Hallelujah. One name. Neither is the salvation in any other. Acts 4:12, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Right, Philippians 2, that at the name of Jesus every knee bows. So that's enough scripture, even if you don't see it. Even if I didn't see it. I didn't see it or know a lot of stuff, but I knew I was not baptized in Jesus' name because I didn't even remember that verse was even in the Bible. I knew I hadn't done it. I know that I was sprinkled when I was a baby. Babies don't need to be baptized. They don't know good and evil. When I grew up, I learned a lot of it. By the age of 14, I had plenty of good and evil in me. They needed to be washed away. Let's all stand. I'm done. I meant to be done 10 minutes ago. Praise God. But if you're here tonight, you ought to thank God you're here. Oh, hallelujah. Glory. And if you're not born again, thank God you're here tonight and you can hear what it takes to be saved. It's always going to take Acts 2:38 to be saved. Oh, hallelujah. It's always going to take it to be saved. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, love the Lord. I love the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Come on, let God give you some understanding. Praise God. Seek His face and God will reveal heaven to you. Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You don't have to understand His deity and have all that straightened out before you obey Acts 2:38. I didn't, and others didn't. Comes later. When you're born again, you start seeing stuff because you've entered into the stuff to see. You know, so inside of a palace, there's lots of cool stuff to see in the palace because the palace has lots of rooms with lots of artifacts, lots of history, and lots of stuff. So is the temple of God, and so is the kingdom of God, the kingdom itself. Once we're born into the kingdom and we're translated from darkness into light, there's lots of cool stuff to see. You'll never see it until you're born again. We're going to sing in one sec, but let me say this one thing. Romans 10, 9, and 10. Do this one study for yourself. Go read Romans 10, 9, and 10, and then read it again, then read it one more time, and then ask yourself, does it say that if I accept the Lord as my personal Lord and Savior, I'm saved? That's all you have to do. Read those two verses. Go back to Deuteronomy 30 from where Paul pulled those two verses from. And ask yourself, does this scripture say this? Because that's how it's interpreted. A lot of people reading the Word of God with sunglasses on their face. They're in darkness. They can't comprehend the light. Make sure that's not you. Praise God. Let's sing tonight. Sister Erica, you feel like a song? All right, come on. While she's singing. I welcome anybody. So here's what I'm saying here tonight. If you have not obeyed Acts 2:38, please do it. I can't make you do it, but your soul needs to do it. Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 7 to Nicodemus, and I say the same thing to you, you must be born again. If we're not born again, Jesus invented that phrase, not the charismatics. If we're not born again, we're not going to make it. Heaven will not be our home. Understand this much. If you didn't understand anything else I said tonight, understand I must be born again. I can't make you, but I hope you get hungry while she's singing. Hungry enough that you want to pray.
Anybody ask you where?